And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz, joined by David Fultz, actor, musician, general renaissance man of Rowan County, I guess, as it were. And Dave, how you been?
I've been pretty good. I've been fairly busy.
Well, what have you been up to?
Oh, golly. Everything that I've been up to, what's fun about it is it's all centered around the Kentucky area. I'm not having to travel as much at the moment. We've got conventions coming up. It's really exciting at the Lexington Toy and Comic-Con coming up here in a few months.
You've been to a number of those.
Yeah.
I've seen your pictures on Facebook. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're really neat. We did C2E2, Mike Holman and I did. He was on like season two of Jackass, a TV show. And I was with him up in Chicago at C2E2. And I don't even know the guy's name, one of the stars of Jackass was there for like one day and he left. So there's this big empty table and Mike, my friend, said, well, Dave, just go over and take his space over. So I said, okay. So I set all my stuff up, my display, my merchandise. And the first person to walk over and start talking to me, his last name is Koenig. He was Chekhov in the original Star Trek. You know, just things like that happen at these conventions. It's just really exciting. The people you meet, a lot of the fans are all dressed up, walking around in their characters and whatnot. And it's just a good way to meet people, make business connections, promote yourself. And
oh, I've seen the pictures of some of these things, and for me, it almost looks like adult trick or treat.
It's about what it is. All these cosplay people, and some of the cosplay people, they'll have thousands of dollars in these outfits, and the best ones, they're either the cheesiest ones made out of, you know, somebody homemade something out of cardboard trying to be Iron Man, or you'll see a professional, you know, Iron Man walking around. It's just the whole gamut, and it's adults. They get to play. You get to be a kid again.
I saw someone who had done the cosplay thing, and he had made his own Batman costume. And, I mean, he made the whole utility belt. He made even the gadgets to go with it.
Yep.
And I thought, this is the most amazing thing that I have ever seen, because this guy didn't have the resources that the movie makers have, but his thing was actually almost better than what they made.
They do. Some of the people. You'll see – what's funny is you'll see like an Adam West Batman walking around from the 60s TV show, or you'll see
– that's just long underwear and a cape.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And you'll see a real super high-tech, you know, Christian Bale Batman from The Dark Knight walking around. And it's various degrees of just the creativity these people have. And it is. It's just adult fun.
Well, you mentioned something that I thought was really neat a moment ago, that you never really know who you're going to run into. And maybe talk about some of the cool people that you have run into at these shows.
Oh, goodness. As far as getting my nerd on, the only time I'll get my nerd on is martial arts conventions. I'll go to like a big martial arts convention. I flew out to California a couple of times in 2005 and 6 for Black Belt Magazine's Festival of Martial Arts. And you know, and that's like I paid for a ticket, and I'm the nerd walking around. So I'm standing there, and here's Diamond Dallas Page walks by. He's getting ready to give a seminar. He's a big wrestler dude, and he's getting ready to give a seminar on yoga, called Yoga for Real Men. And it's something that he healed his back, you know, through yoga, and he talks to people about that. And my nephew at the time was getting ready to be deployed to Iraq, I believe, or Afghanistan. And I was talking to Mr. Page. I said, hey, my nephew's getting ready to be deployed, and could you say hi to him? He goes, yeah. So I called Mike, my nephew, and he won't get off the phone with Mike. He just, and his handler was like saying, come on, you got to give yourself. He would not get off the phone with my nephew. And some of these celebrities, if I see somebody that I know my nephews idolize, or they're big fans of, like a big MMA guy, or like Michael Jai White from Spawn and The Dark Knight, and people like that, they'll call. And my nephew, especially when he's in the Army, they will not. They're super nice. And they talk to these soldiers and stuff. They respect them and appreciate them, and they will not they won't get off the phone. They talk to Mike forever. I had Doug Jones. They said their favorite one I've ever had talked to him. I did and this is really – it's a really neat story. I was doing some film work down in Bowling Green, Kentucky with Doug Jones. And Doug had just found out he was going to be the Silver Surfer. And I was the props I was to bring with me, I was to wear a suit and bring a book bag or a briefcase and a box full of random books and papers. So I'm in my library, and I'm grabbing out some random books and papers, and the first book I grab is a big notebook of my nephew's sketches he did when he was a little kid. He's like 10, 12 years old. I flipped it open, and there's this big, giant picture of the Silver Surfer he'd drawn. And it was a really good. It looked awesome. So I put that with my stuff. So when I shot my scene with Doug Jones, we were back at the director's house later that evening, and I had Doug sign that picture. And, you know, Mikey was in the Army, and he's an adult now. And Doug wrote on, he says, Mikey, you're my hero. And it was just ironic. Here's the real Silver Surfer signing a picture, you know, that Mikey drew. Just little things like that that just happen.
So you get a chance to meet some people. And I know that in the past when I was working up in the Chicago area, you know, I was covering major league sports. You know, I was covering hockey, baseball in particular. And there were times that, you know, I met people that I'd grown up watching. And I was kind of disappointed in what I found out about them. There were other times I wasn't, but I mean, it kind of, that was what I guess I remembered more was the disappointment, because, you know, when you're a kid, you think they're all the greatest people in the world,
yeah.
Not just the greatest players, but they're also wonderful people that would love to meet you if they had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So you telling me these types of stories restore my faith in humanity.
Yeah. Some of the, you know, it's according to what celebrity you get to. And I'll hear a quote unquote horror story about a celebrity, and I always take those with a grain of salt. It's like Dale Earnhardt. You hear stories about him, you know, yelling at little kids or whatever. And he's a super, you know, I'm sure he's a really nice guy. But he couldn't eat. And part of being a celebrity, and you have to respect that, if you walk up and talk to them or whatever, you're about the 100th person in the last 10 minutes of their life, of every 10 minutes of their life that's done that. And when I'm around celebrities, I don't get pictures with every celebrity. You're on the set. You're there as a professional. No pictures, no autographs. You're one of them. And once in a blue moon at a convention, or just if it's right to do it, I'll get a picture with somebody if I really like them. But if I had a picture with every celebrity I've talked to or said hi to or whatever, I wouldn't have enough room on my walls. But usually when I see somebody that I know is super famous, but I like them too, I will say hi to them, and I'll let them go. I'll just like, hey, how you doing? I really liked you in this, or I appreciate your work. And then boom, get away from them, leave them alone, and they're okay with that. Not a problem.
Are you into a project right now, movie wise?
Yes, that's why I have this big, long, shaggy beard and hair. I can't go into a lot of detail about it, but in real life, I'm a bushcraft enthusiast. You know, you go out in the woods, you know, you got a knife and a string and a paper plate, and you can, you know, build a castle.
No duct tape?
Yeah, duct tape is essential. Gorilla brand duct tape is the best. Yeah, I mean, you can make it's goofy. You learn to be so resourceful. You could take a bandana, and I could almost literally name 50 things you could do with a bandana right now. I mean, the Boy Scouts have them for a reason. And duct tape, cordage, and but I'm doing they've got a proposed project, the producer does, and they want me to star in it. And they're not going to make a movie, and they're not going to make a short film. What they're going to do is write the movie. Here's a full feature film, and then we're going to shoot a trailer. And in the movie, I can't go into super detail about it, but it's about a man that goes off-grid. He has his own property, his own woods and whatnot. He goes off-grid. He'll come out, and he'll pay his property tax. He'll cut a couple of trees down, have timber guys come in. They'll cut one or two trees down. That pays his property tax. He's done. He owes nobody anything. And in the fantasy world of the movie, the UN has like kindly is helping the United States now, and they're helping the police force, and they're kindly taking over, and the government's allowing them to run us.
So like a world order of police.
Exactly. It's like a elite New World Order type thing. And this guy's off grid. He bothers nobody. And the only link he has, and the only link you as the viewer has to what's going on in the world, is his radio. And basically, I don't want to give too many plot details away, but it's like the UN, his property is like ideal prime property for something they need, like a cell tower or something. It's just perfect. So they inquire about it, and he's not interested. And then somehow they try to take it anyways, and ends up they don't come back out of the woods. And so there's a little search party goes out, like, oh, what happened to these guys? Just, you know, it's like a month later. So they went out, they were checking on this thing. Where are they at? So they go out to find out and find their friends. They don't come back. Now they're like, okay, it's on. And now it's all at war. They send people out, and it's kind of like a Rambo meets a Grizzly Adams type of deal. The guy's got a military background, martial arts. He's familiar. It's his own property. He knows it like the back of his hand. And they really can't do much with him. And that's as much as I can talk about the film. But I'm pretty excited about it. And it's the movie business. It might not happen, but until I find out, I can't shave or cut my hair. And then if they say, okay, we're not going to do it, or they have to pay me to keep my hair. We can't do it now, but we want you to keep your hair and beard. If they say that, then they have to pay me and to do it because I want to shave. I don't like having a big long beard.
I was going
to
say, you're going to be tucking it in your belt before too long.
I know.
I mean, I've known you for a while, and you've been over here a while, and I've never seen it like this before.
Oh, yeah, it's out there. And what's funny –
And neither of our listeners, by the way.
Well, you're not going to see this, but it's the last time I had my beard grown out was right around 2012, and I had I don't know what the name of the last Planet of the Apes movie was, but they wanted because I had this beard, my hair, and I was scraggly. You get more offers, and they want me to be in the human colony for the last Planet of the Apes movie. And I'm at the point now in my career, I got to get something out of any project I do. And I asked him, I said, I knew it wasn't going to pay anything. They only need me for 2 days. And I'm like, am I going to get screen time? I at least wanted some screen time. They said, and they told me up front, no, you will not get any screen time. I said, well, I can't do it. You know, I'm not driving 12 hours to New Orleans for $8 an hour. And that was before I got in the union to not be seen in a movie. And I don't need the movie credit on my resume. I've got enough good movie credits right now on my resume. So I'm not into resume building now. I want something out of the project. But the other thing that I had was out of it was I was called in for Django Unchained, a Quentin Tarantino movie. Because of my beard, my hair, and it was a scene, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. Absolutely. And then I never got called. And then I'm assuming that the production team for Quentin Tarantino needed 20 people, and the casting people got 40 or 50, and then let them pick, and they just didn't pick me. You know, I'm assuming the worst all the time about myself. And then I find out I was picked to be in it, but they never shot the scene. But, I mean, I would have loved to have been in that movie. I mean, I'd have been boom screen. I'd have been a slave. It was going to be a meeting of slave owners, and I was going to be one of the slave owners in the meeting. And there were some actors that Quentin wanted, and he couldn't get, and he just didn't do the scene, and it didn't hurt the movie. But if he got them, he was going to throw the scene in there.
You mentioned that there are a lot of projects being done in Kentucky, and you're basically not having to leave Kentucky much at all.
No, right now it was April of last year. The Kentucky State Film Hall. This is when Steve Beshear was governor. They passed the Kentucky Film Incentive. And right now, there are a lot of movies being made outside of Hollywood, believe it or not. We did The Dark Knight up in Chicago. It was one of the main locations. And in Batman vs. Superman was made in Detroit. And the reason these movies are being made in different parts of the United States is notwithstanding the location. You got the location. They don't have to do that much, spend that much money. They've got a location, you know, already. They have film incentives. They give them tax rebates. And I think at the time of The Dark Knight in 2007, they had a 32% tax rebate in Chicago, in Illinois. Michigan's got a big tax rebate. I think theirs was like 42%. It's huge. I know New Mexico was doing it for a while. Texas was doing it for a while. New Orleans, right now the big hot spot is New Orleans. And New Orleans might be dying down just a hair. And Atlanta is real big right now for filmmaking. So Kentucky, to compete with these other states, and a lot of us actors and whatnot, we're getting on the government here. It's like, why are you not, you know, you've got a 6% rebate for filmmakers. And one of my contentions was, we have a lot of movie companies stopping in Kentucky to get something to eat, go to the bathroom, because they're passing through, going to this other state that they're going to spend all their money at. So Kentucky passed a 30% tax rebate for the film industry. Now Kentucky, state of Kentucky, is on par with everybody else. And I believe I was talking to the tourism person in Kentucky down at Frankfort from, I think from 2011 to 2015, they had five projects approved in Kentucky with the bad tax incentive. And since they passed the other tax incentive, I think it was like within 6 or 7 months, they had like 11 or 12 films approved, big films. And they're doing a John Voight film right now in Louisville. And they're wanting a TV series. What they're really wanting to come to Kentucky is a series, a TV series, and because that means all year round work.
Any prospects on that?
Yeah, there's possibly. They're doing a one called a, I think it's called Bourbon Kings or something like that. And it's sort of like a, you know, rich people intrigue, Dynasty Dallas, and it's the bourbon industry. That's been tossed around, and I don't know. I don't know where that's went. I haven't talked to the producers lately on that. I'm sure I'd hear from them. They've had a couple of films that were coming here. One of them, Jason Statham, was attached, and then it went so long. Now he's no longer attached. But John Voight's down here doing his second movie. They did a movie made for television for Hallmark, him and James Caan. And now there's another John Voight movie. I guess he's right around the Louisville area. That's where a lot of it's centered, a lot of filmmaking, because Kentucky's got everything. We have everything here as far as scenery. And we got cities and country, cliffs, lakes, everything. We have more waterfront property in Kentucky, and you can Google this, than Florida does.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. Again, we're talking with David Fultz. He's from Moorhead. He works as an actor, a stuntman, also as a musician, and we'll do some more of that in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page again. David Fultz from Moorhead, our guest today on Front Page. Of course, David works, as we talked about, as a movie actor, also does stunts, also works as a musician. And I was going to ask you a little bit about the stunt thing, because we haven't talked about that a whole lot in the past. Dave, I know that people don't realize this. It's not just about anybody who can jump out of a tree or off a third story of a building or whatever. I mean, you went through a lot of training to be able to do stunts, didn't you?
Yeah, you have to. It's like anything else. It's like downhill skiing. You can listen to your friends tell you how to ski, and you can flop around all you want and wreck, and like I did up in New England. And then until I took a lesson from a professional, and he told me just like maybe two things, two little simple tricks, I went from the top of that mountain to the bottom, completely controlled and enjoyable experience, didn't wreck or anything. And the same as with stunt work, you get a lot of people. Homemade movies, some of the independent films, not all of them, that they're not stunt people. Just play fighting and pretend fighting, that does not make you a stunt professional. There's so many tricks, and I went to the Action Film Academy in upstate New York, Michael D. Pasquale's Action Film Academy, and I've been through their program like three times. I went back three times. And you've got all the basic stuff that you do every time you go there, but then there'll be different instructors there every time, so you're going to get something new each and every time. And a lot of the instructors there are martial artists. They're, you know, 10th degree, have their own system, but they're also movie fighter guys. Two completely different things. And they told us, it was like drill camp. They said you'd do a fight sequence. And if you messed up, they said, okay, you just made a mistake. You landed in the wrong spot. You had the camera was facing this way, and you had your head turned the wrong way. You have to do that over. This is a $5,000 a minute production, and you're costing them time. So they really instilled in us to be efficient, get the job done right, and not cost these producers money, because that's what it's all about, is money. If you can save them money, make them money, they're your best friend. And there's just little tricks, like the falling out of a window. Like you fall out of a window backwards and the glass is all breaking. There's a way to do that. Falling down stairs, which is extremely dangerous if you don't do it. I won't do a stair fall. I don't have the proper safety equipment to protect my spine, so I'm not going to do it. There's a way to do a high fall when you fall off something really high. And I won't go, and people laugh at this. It's like, I won't do a super big high fall. And I tell them, I won't go over four stories. And they're like, oh my God, four stories, it's so high. The airbag is taking two stories. You're not dropping that far onto a big airbag. And there's a way to do it. There's extreme protocol and safety. stunt fighting is more like dancing. It has nothing to do with real fighting. And one of the things they told us at stunt school, they said the worst thing you can hear come out of somebody's mouth on a movie set when you're getting ready to do stunts is if you ask them, if you had any training, they say, I'm a world champion martial artist. It's like you just immediately like, oh, wait a minute, you know, because that does not train you to be a stunt fighter. And I've learned through experience. I was on a set with somebody like that, and we had to fight. And I said, "You had any training?" He goes, "I'm a fourth degree Tang Soo Do master." But this guy listened. He listened to me and the director, and as far as the stunt fighting aspect of it went, so he was really good to work with. He didn't just walk out like he knew everything. The best people to work with in a fight scene that have no stunt training are wrestlers. Wrestlers are used to doing that type of thing.
The choreography
for fighting. But it's still, you know, I did one fight scene with Al Snow. He's a professional wrestler. And the guy that was a fight choreographer, quote unquote, the more I heard him talk, because he's a fight choreographer. I'm the actor and stunt guy. I'm going to listen to the choreographer. I'm listening to the director. So I'm listening to this person, and he's calling a wrestling match. And it's like, this is not fighting for – we're beating someone to death and shooting them. And then he's having us do all this stuff. He's calling a wrestling match. He's looking at this stunt fight like there's 360 degrees of people watching, and they're not. The only thing I care about is the angle of that camera, what the camera sees. So you can hide all kinds of stuff, but to the audience, it looks real. And you're not even coming close to hitting them or hurting them. But if both actors are doing – the hardest job is getting beat up if you're in a fight. So if I'm with an amateur, most of the time, if I can, I'll be the one getting beat up because it requires a much higher skill level to look as though you're taking the beat down. And the person, they're just swinging punches and kicks. But you have to know how to do the moves to where it looks like it looks to the audience like they're making contact and actually racking your head. But you're just standing there doing it yourself, and they're missing you by like a foot. And the camera hides the lack of contact.
It's amazing how they use the angles to make things look so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a stunt video right now. I'm going to start selling at conventions. It's called Fighting on Film, Enter the Independent. George Manila produced it. There's two sections. There's a director's version that director's director's view or version. It's like an hour long. George does that with a bunch of his guys. And then they've got a 20-minute version that I'm instructing. And I talked to George, and we're going to cut my section off, and I'm going to sell it by itself. So I'll probably be on the DVD cover, and I do 20 minutes of like body reactions and how to do basic stunt fighting. And I'm going to have three other movies that have never been for sale before. I did a feature film in Arizona called Drifter. Did that with Ron Ponell, Mel Novak, and Blake Foster, the Blue Power Ranger, and that's never been for sale, and I got permission from the owners to make copies and sell that, and it's a family-friendly movie. Hootenanny, Morgan Mead, it's the first time I ever worked with Morgan Mead. I'm going to start selling that on DVD, and even though DVDs are out of style, people buy them at conventions because it's something real. You're signing it and handing it to them. That's the main
appeal. It
becomes
a collector's
item. Exactly. That's what it amounts to. I'm going to be at the Vet City. Vet City is a convention. It's going to be held at the Corvette Museum, Bowling Green, Kentucky. I'll be there January 28th and 29th of next year. And Deep Roy's going to be there. He's the little person that was in the new Willy Wonka. He was a Oompa Loompa. He's going to be there. We've got some wrestlers. We've got a guy from Jackass going to be there. John Dugan from Texas Chainsaw Massacre is going to be a guest. I'm going to be a guest there. And it's going to be held right in the Corvette Museum. That's January 28th and 29th. And then we've got the Lexington Toy and Comic Con coming up.
Just watch where you step with the sinkhole and all that stuff.
Yes. Everybody asks about that. They're right up the street from what's the big cave system there? Mammoth Cave.
Yeah.
They're right beside that.
Well, yeah, you've got Mammoth Cave right there with you.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a few seconds left, Dave. I want you to go ahead. People are interested in, you know, where you're appearing and trying to find out more about your stuff. I know you've got a website.
Yeah, I've got my fan page on Facebook. I've got my regular Facebook page. I've got my fan page, David Fultz. Also, I've got a music page, Mechanical Mountain. And we've got a major announcement with Mechanical Mountain. Our guitar player has left. We are now guitarless in Mechanical Mountain, and we're going to start auditioning guitar players. So if you're interested in playing guitar with Mechanical Mountain, go to the Facebook page, Mechanical Mountain, and hit us up. We've got Lexington Troy and Comic Con. That's going to be at the Rupp Arena in Lexington, March the 10th and 12th. That I can't even start with how many the guests are going to be there. The comic book creators, writers, artists, the actors, just everybody's going to be there. It's humongous. It's probably the best meet and greet, meet celebrity event in the state of Kentucky.
David, thanks so much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for having me.
David Fultz from Moorhead, actor, stuntman, and musician. You're on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. See you next time.